Good morning. Our scripture this morning is Psalms 136, 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of God, to the God of gods, I'm sorry, for his steadfast love and great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever.
I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but on Mondays, I am working at home. It is my day of preparation for study and sermon preparation for the following Sunday. I may be working on it all week, but that is a time that is set apart so I can really listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit for what I need to share with you today. Now, Pastor Diana is really, really good about honoring boundaries. That's something that she's much better at than I am. And she usually very much wants to make sure that my time at home is protected. And so she doesn't usually disturb me or interrupt any of my time. But this past week, she had something that came up that she needed to touch base with me on. And so she sent me a text because she wanted to offer something that would help lighten my load for this week. She was in the process of getting thank you cards prepared for those who so generously gave of their time and their talent and their treasure to so that we could have a fantastic Halloween party last week. And for those of you who are here, one that absolutely fantastic. It really was. And so while she was getting information for Shauna to prepare the cards that will be going out this week, she sent me a text to see if I might want to have some cards prepared for my signature for those who all participated and led in the All Saints Sunday service, and because that was something that I was driving. So anyway, what did I say to that text? Two things. Sure, and thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, it just kind of rolls out off of our tongues, right? When somebody does something that is kind or generous or thoughtful, we say thank you. Maybe not without even thinking about it. Now, I know that most of us have been taught that response by our parents, perhaps, or teachers, or people who have mentored us over our lives in some way. But I also want to suggest this morning that there is something innately present in our lives, something for which you and I were even born with, that is known as gratitude. And so as I begin this morning, I want to share that during the month of November, we will be focusing our attention on being grateful. And some of you are going, well, duh, yeah, of course we're going to be doing that. But even though we are moving from the Halloween to the Thanksgiving season, I really do believe that this can be a time when you and I can reflect on gratitude as a spiritual practice, not just as something that rolls off our tongues as, you know, some automatic response, but a real spiritual practice, and why that practice truly matters in our lives as followers of the way of Jesus. And so today, as we continue to reflect on worship and on scripture and God's message to you and me, I want to invite you to join me in a prayer preparation. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we do offer you thanks on this day when we are reminded that life is much more than what we do at work or where we are at times during the week. And we thank you especially, God, for this space, this sacred space, this sacred time when we really do get to focus on the things that truly matter. And so I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. made for gratitude. Now, some of you might be questioning the sermon title this morning. I mean, anybody here besides me ever felt like you've been left out of a thank you? Especially after spending a lot of time or energy on a project at work, or maybe at church, or even for family gatherings. You never receive an acknowledgement of a gift or an act of generosity that you might have done. So are we as a whole really people that are made for gratitude? That's the question I want to ask today. There's a story about a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad in 1860 when a ship went aground just off the shore of Lake Michigan, and the young man waded again and again into the water to help rescue 17 passengers. As a result of his heroic efforts, his health was permanently damaged. After several years, the man died, and at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. And that reminded me of something that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy when he said, "In the last days, distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful." Being ungrateful is one of the ways that we fall from the purpose of which you and I have been created, and that is to be in relationship both with God and with each other. And so I want to invite us to focus our attention on gratitude and thanksgiving for the entire month of November, to hopefully help us to strengthen and maybe even for the first time to develop the spiritual muscle in your life and in mine, that spiritual muscle of gratitude. Why? So that you and I can more fully experience God ourselves in a way that generates that life that Jesus said he came to give us, a life of abundance through the practice of gratitude. Our scripture reading today from Psalm 136 is a unique psalm of thanksgiving to God, unique from all the others. God who is good and whose steadfast love endures, how long? Forever. The uniqueness of the psalm is in this refrain that occurs a whopping 26 times in this 26-verse chapter. And the refrain is at the end of each of the lines, each verse of the psalm. And it was meant to be spoken or sung in worship. And it's called the Great Hallel. And even though the word hallelujah isn't spoken outright, Psalm 136 certainly is a hallelujah, which literally means praise the Lord. In this psalm, we see three different aspects of God in whom we are to give thanks. And in this aspect, we see the reason that the psalmist gives thanks to God. These descriptions of God are in verses 1 through 3, and they give us the outline for three sections that follow. The first is, God is good. All the time, God is good. And that leads us all the way back to creation. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1, where God creates, and at the end of each day and every aspect of creation, as God looks at what God has created, God says what? God says, it is good. It is good. And of course, when God gets to the creation of humankind on the sixth day, and we are told that the man and woman are created in God's own image, God looks at what God has created and says, it's very good. Because, of course, we're made in the image of God, right? So God is good. And the other thing that we know is that God is love. And this is the character of Creator God. And this good God's steadfast love, the psalmist says, endures forever. In verses 4 through 9, we see this declaration of gratitude for the Creator. the one who does great wonders, who by understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth on the waters, who made the great lights, who set the sun to rule over the day and the moon and the stars to rule over the night. For all of this and more, we give thanks. Why? For God's steadfast love endures forever. How many times have you said, "Thank you, God. Thank you for the creation"? Now, I'm not going to lie. There have been many times that I get so busy, I don't even notice. And you know how they say, out of the mouths of babes? Well, one day about 30 years ago or so, one of my young adults, who might not have been a baby, but who definitely could have been thought of as a babe, came to me and he said, "Pastor Susan, you need to get out and smell the roses." Yeah, out of the mouths of babes, you can hear a word from God. Because, you know, when I actually do stop long enough to take a look around, or maybe even take a whiff of the air, breathe, and feel God's beautiful world all around me, what happens is all I can do is say, "Thank you. Thank you." Because it's then that I'm also reminded that I am a part of this creation, and I am created in that good image of the God who calls me to care for this planet and for its inhabitants. And at the first service, this is not in the manuscript of the sermon, so just a side, thinking about the creation and how amazing it is. On Friday night, I accidentally almost chopped off my thumb. I had a charcuterie board that I had gotten at the Rio fundraiser and was taking things out. I was going to have charcuterie that night, and one of the sleeves came apart from a knife, and it went, phew, and it just kind of almost chopped my thumb off. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, my goodness," and it's bleeding all over the place. And Ron says, "Do I need to take you to the hospital?" I said, "Oh, no." I said, "I'll just put some pressure on it," which I did. And so anyway, over 36 hours, when I took the Band-Aid off to replace it this morning, that horrible cut is together. It's not bleeding anymore. It's not separated. It is healing on its own. And all I could say was, "Thank you, God. Thank you for this body that you've given to me that has within it the ability to heal." And so it's about being intentional about looking and seeing how wonderful it is. And so I say to you, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever." Yes, our God is a good creator God, but there's more. Verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods." This is a reference to Israel's God, who exercises dominion over all of the powers of heaven and earth. This is the Most High God and the one to whom Israel is called into covenant relationship. And so what we find in the next section of this psalm, in verses 10 to 22, we find the acts of God that protected Israel. From the Exodus to inheriting the land of promise. And I want to be honest here, that these were difficult times of struggle. I mean, even before the Exodus happened, what, there was 400 years that the children of Israel suffered under the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And then after the miraculous deliverance through the waters of the Red Sea, 40 more years of wandering in that wilderness. But it was during this time of struggle, you see, that Israel comes to understand itself as a people who are called by God into covenant, a people who are called to be a light to the nations. And for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, we continue to acknowledge that our relationship with God, just as it was for ancient Israel, has to supersede all other loyalties. Amen? Amen. Amen. Including the gods of our own making, whether they be possessions or money or even other relationships with people. We can see that the God who has sustained us in our wilderness journeys has always been with us. And so we give thanks for the steadfast love that has brought us through the depths and the valleys and walked with us, sometimes even carrying us when we could not walk on our own. And so with the children of Israel, we can say, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods for God's steadfast love." Let's say it together, endures forever. Now, up to this point, we have described reasons to thank God for all that God has done in the past. But what about today? What about now? What is the Lord like in our lives? Verse 3 calls us to give thanks for God's continuing deliverance and blessings as the Lord of Lords. Now, verses 23 to 25 of this psalm probably refer to God's deliverance of the exiles from Babylonian captivity. Listen to these words. God remembered us in our low estate. God rescued us from our foes. God gives food to all flesh. Last weekend, as many of you know, we held a fundraiser for our global mission partner, in Nicaragua. At that event, Peter Schaller, executive director of Rio de Sol, began with an astonishing statement. After thanking everyone for being there, Peter said, "I want you to know that I do not want anyone here to donate a penny tonight." Well, that got everybody's attention since this was a fundraiser. But then Peter said, "Instead, I want to invite you tonight to invest. I want you to invest in dismantling generational poverty." And then Peter went on to describe the reality that children and their families are dealing with every day in Matagalpa, and the power that lies within each of us to provide a way out of that kind of extreme poverty through education and healthcare and spiritual development and community development and youth in action that Rio de Sol offers. Now, I want you to know, we had over 200 people, 61 of our own church family, attending the night for Nicaragua. And guess what happened? We raised, are y'all ready? Drum roll, please. $102,358 for this mission in one of the poorest areas in the world. Clap, clap, clap. That goes a long way. And how did we do that? We did that as we gave thanks for our blessings, for daily bread, for clothes, for shelter, and for our faith in the Lord of Lords. And out of the abundance of that gratitude and thanksgiving came the generous investment that was making a difference and will make a difference in the lives of 5,000 children and their families in Central America. And so because of that, we can say together, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for God's steadfast love endures forever." Yes, God's steadfast love does endure forever. And so as we receive that love, we give God our thanks. But what else can we do because we are living into the identity that we have of gratitude? We can share that thanksgiving by living in the image of God that we have been created to be. And by investing ourselves in raising up those who are in low estate, whether it's a child in Nicaragua or a veteran who is homeless and hopeless, or a senior who is lonely, or like Pastor Diana, being a friend who offers to lighten someone's load. All of these and so much more are ways that you and I can live into our identity as God's beloved. For you, beloved of God, you were made for gratitude. May be so in your life and in mine as we journey together, building that spiritual muscle in our lives ourselves. Gratitude. And the people of God said, amen and amen.